Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings, family. Greetings. This is Mama Seven, and we're doing devotions. Oh, yes, we are. We are at day 9. This is the last of the single digits. We're moving into the double digits tomorrow. I am so excited. There's been a lot of, there's been a lot of positivity. There's been a lot of revelations. There's been a lot more understanding. Yesterday, I don't know what yesterday was outside of day 8, but yesterday I need to speak to the Bush woman and find out what was going on astrologically, blah, 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 yesterday. Because when I say I woke up today on that mission, today with a greater sense of clarity, which is, you know, part of the reason why I work as hard as I do. I woke up with my mission and my purpose strong on my chest, and I was felt really, really good, not overwhelmed, not, you know, oh, it's not going to happen, not worried or concerned. I woke up with a clear understanding that everything that I'm working for, everything that I walked into this fast meeting is about to present itself. It is a fabulous feeling when you can see God's path signed for you. You know, it's almost like stories in our children's stories. There are a lot of facts. This is how they start to see who will accept the facts and who won't. So, you know, I woke up this morning like the Wizard of Oz, and it was like, follow the yellow brick road. Okay? It's laid out. Can't make it no clearer. It's gold. Follow the yellow brick road. Follow it. Follow it. Follow it. And so, and they had, what, 1,001 things trying to take them off their path. They had flying monkeys. There were so many things that were leading them to them. Isn't that amazing? As they were trying to seek things that they already had within. But they had to go through this yellow brick road because that was how they were fit and tried and strengthened, having that steel hit steel. So that was me this morning. This morning I saw the yellow brick road. When it's foggy and hazy and when there's dirt on the road and it's hard to see sometimes. I had the pleasure, you know, every day I try to grab an angel or two. Hey, how you doing? How's your past doing? And I asked the sister yesterday, I said, hey, what is your mission? I said, I see you here, and I see you here, and I see you here, but what's the mission? Who are you? You know, who do you want to be? And I loved the answer. And this is something, look, she got sneak attack. This is something you all can be working on. What is the mission? Because I can tell you in a wonderful approach, I feel thankful to know that I have so many leaders that are just getting ready to bust their ministry. I have so many leaders, you know, from the beginning, I only wanted to work with leaders. I only wanted to work with people that had committed to a higher purpose. And so I'm accustomed to working with leaders. I can be guide, and but yet enough hands off to where you are doing the work. I'm not going to do your work. You got to do your own work. But think about your overall mission, because every step you take should be either on that yellow brick road or toward the yellow brick road. Don't, what happened? I think they went off into a flower patch, a flower field that wasn't really flowers. You see how life likes to trick you up? Hey, come take this job off your path, off your mission, off your, some pages I want to pay you lots of money, but then it's going to trip you up. Don't do that. So here we are. Most of us know our path. They know, we know what bricks we want to follow. Others, they know it and they're on it. They just may not be moving fast enough. And then there's others that know it, on it, move it, but they're dodging the monkeys, okay? How do we get away from this? You know, who is going to band beside us and walk hand in hand and help us get to where we need to get to? All of this has to do with that transformation. Transformation is the word for today. Transformation is what we are always trying to do. We got to get this understanding in place. How do we make this work for us? How do we transform ourselves into the beings that God has for us? How do we do that? Well, first you have to have an understanding of your divine work. You have to have an understanding as to what God asked you to do in the first place. That is going to get you what you're looking for, that grand sense of purpose. So there's some things I need to tell you about transformation. I've done quite a bit of it over the years, and everyone has, really. You may not have recognized it. You may not have even wanted to do it, but you did it. When you're transforming from a child to an adult, that's a major transformation. And even in childhood, when you're moving from a young child to a preteen to a teenager, you know, a teenager to, you know, this young adult, all of this has these increments we have had to transform. Some of us have. Transformation is a change. And I say it like this because change is not easy for everybody. Everybody don't like change. Difficult. So in your transformation, first thing you need to understand is that, hey, I've done this before. I have done this before. I've done it successfully. I can manage it. You know, I don't have to be fearful of it. So first of all, understand, change, transformation is something that you can do because you've done it before, one. Two, transformation is happening all around us, all the time. We're trying to move, trying, because it's a little nippy out here today, but we're trying to change seasons now. We're moving into spring. We're not going to do the same things we did in winter and spring. We got to make sure, you know, there will come a time, and I'm greatly looking forward to it. I don't wear coats here, but, you know, if you wear coats, jackets, you know, my youngest son wears those hoodies, and he has one now that I can't wait to get rid of. But, you know, he's wearing that now because it's winter-ish. Is appropriate. In another month, it will be highly inappropriate. Like, dude, take that off. So he has got to be willing to change and to transform into a new season, a new understanding. And I can tell you this, one of my favorite quotes that Spirit gave me was, not every butterfly, not every caterpillar to be a butterfly, but those who resisted wasted time and energy. Okay? Meaning, you don't have to like this transformation. You know, I know a lot of people, as I'm moving in, you know, I'm 50. Actually, I'm 50 plus. And so I know a lot of people that are fighting this transformation. Why? You knew when you were 40 you were going to be 50. You actually knew when you were 30 that eventually you were going to be 50. This has been an understanding time now. But now that you are 50, why are you fighting an understanding that you should have already had? Why are you resisting this transformation? It's clear. I always tell people, make it personal. I need more sleep. I need more sleep. What I used to run on when at 16 and 18 and 25, it ain't the same. It's not the same. As I'm getting older, I need more sleep. It's not the devil. It's okay. Why are you fighting that? As I have my youngest who's transitioning, getting ready to transform into this young adult who's out my house, cannot wait. The idea that he's going to have to purchase some things for himself is beyond him. I'm already like, hey, dude, you got this little job. I love it. I want you to buy your socks. And he was looking at me like, socks are overrated, mama. I don't need no socks. If you need me to buy the socks, I might be sockless, okay? And so this whole idea of caring for self and thinking of self is really beyond him, to a point that I'm like, we need to practice this a little bit. We need to have a little bit more time, because I can already tell your transformation into young adulthood may be a little jagged for you, because I'm not buying socks. No, when you get out there and you get old enough, I'm not going to buy the socks. You have to buy the socks. And so it's very comical to me to see him resisting an inevitable change in our life and what we're doing in our God mission. How many of us are resisting an inevitable change? How many of us are fighting against a clock? And I love I love gospel music. I'm nowhere near as versed as I would like to be, but I love it. And every now and again, there are songs that stain me. They stay in me, and they come and remind me of words that God has said, and it reminds me of actions and the ideas of God. So these songs stay with me. And one of the songs is the wind into the song called Tomorrow. And the song is about, surrendering to God, going to God tomorrow. And the end of the song, the whole idea of it is, tomorrow never really comes. Tomorrow is always tomorrow. It never is today. So they're saying, don't wait till tomorrow to do what God has asked you to do today. Do it today. And so I think that is such an important lesson, that if we could incorporate it, some of our transformations would not be as difficult. Okay? If you could stop putting God off, stop putting God's instructions, I'm tired, I got to work, I got to do this, I got to do that. Stop that. Stop allowing this world to dictate how you're going to listen to your God. Because the world doesn't get to put a priority in over my God, because this world is man's domain. Man is fairly young. We haven't been around that long. We don't live, back in the day, they lived for hundreds of years. We lucky to make it to 50. I feel blessed to make it here. So we're not really accumulating real wisdom. And then from generation to generation to generation, we have a lot of information that's lost. Fortunately, a lot of our elders are taking the information with them. And so, as a whole, our knowledge base is not really increasing a whole lot. Not like it could. I mean, each person, we only use the smart people, the people that are really on it. They're only using 15 to 20% of their brain. And I'm like, well, what's the rest of that brain for? We're not even doing that. so much that we have and we could be using. Let's start using it. Stop letting this world tell you that you have until tomorrow. Stop letting this world make you think, oh, you can get to that anytime. You know, I remember going into church and I remember seeing elders. That's all I remember seeing, elders and their grandchildren. It was like a whole generation was missing out of church. And I'm not sure if it's like that to this day, but I remember growing up thinking that I would get a break from this, and then I go back when I get old, or I go back when my body hurts, or I go back when I get the testimony. Start your transformation today. Be in a transformation. I can tell you where it starts, in your brain. Remember, we spoke about the commitment yesterday. Remember, I said, in this spiritual understanding, there's tons of commitments that you will make. You'll make commitments to yourself. You'll make commitments to your ancestry. You'll make commitments to God. You'll make commitments to your children, to your spouse. These are promises that you are making. Transformation is the same way. We have to begin to transform our thinking. Transforming your thinking transforms your actions. It puts you on a whole nother level of understanding. And the more you do it, the better you get at it. And if you can keep your attitude about it pleasant, you know, then it can be a pleasant experience. Now, if you want to kick and fight and fight and kick, you can. You can spend lots of money on age cream. You can do all kinds of stuff to hide and fight this transformation that's coming, but I wouldn't suggest it. You know, there's a reward for the work that we do. There's a reward for it. But if you want the whipped cream, you got to do it a certain way. So there's ice cream. You do it, you're going to get the ice cream. Amen. Thank you, God. But I want the whipped cream and the cherry, okay? I want God to be like, you did a great job. I want to be able to, you know, go to my children and say, hey, you don't have to like it, but you do have to do it. So I want to show them, hey, remember when it came time to doing this? I didn't want to do that. But I did it. Did you know I didn't want? No, I didn't even know. That's because, you know, do it with goodness in your heart. Do it with love. Because, and I can tell you this, I'm being kind. I'm being gentle in my words. We are so far from perfect. You know, I don't want God's grace. I need it. There's so many things I'm missing and slipping, and I'm a circle back on that, God, and not because I'm lazy, and it's not because I don't take it seriously. Yeah, you know, 10 fingers, 10 toes. I'm juggling a lot. I'm juggling a lot. So I don't ever want there to be a time where God be like, look at you. You knew this had to be done, and you just didn't do it. You just didn't do it. I don't want that. I want God to see me working hard. So when the things that do slip, because I promise you, something's going to slip, something's going to fall, I want God to be able to apply that grace gingerly. I want God to know, okay, no, this child, he dropped the ball. Yeah, well, I'm going to charge that one definitely to her head, not her heart, because she be doing the work. She loves that. She loves the work. Mm-mm. That's I want the angels to go to God and say, oh, God, I got to tell you, you know, she kind of dropped the ball right here, but, man, she really gets her, she tries. She's kind. She's a kind woman. You know, she's a nurturer. She reached out to her fellow brothers and sisters, and, you know, she really is trying, God. Can we give her some grace? I want them to go and feel good about petitioning. I don't want them to be like, it's her again. Mm-hmm, God, you know, she's always begging for something. But yeah, I don't want that. I want them to see the work and see where I have really tried to be that good Samaritan, helping my people. And then, you know, that grace is easy. It's easy. You know, he gives it to us because we need it, not because we want it. So all I'm saying is during those times when you may not want to, it may not be convenient, it may not be enjoyable, you may not like the people you got to work with, you know, during those times, just remember we're working for that grace. Because we can't possibly do it all. And for every parent, oh, God. And parent begins at conception. The second you know about that little booger, you start being a parent. You know, the second, you know, that first morning sickness, the first time you can't have that glass of wine that you want because you're carrying life, that's the first time you're being a parent, okay? That's that first sacrifice. As God is transforming you in your actions, you know, all of that, imagine God looking at us and knowing what the work that we do. Just imagine it. So as you go through your day, I want you to see and understand the transformations that are there, that are necessary. Oh, Lord. I want you to know have to happen in life. Don't fight life. You know, imagine our trees. I always talk about how much I learned from the birds, the bees, and the trees. Imagine the trees that they have to go through their seasons. You know, I don't know if they enjoy being full of fruit. I know they look beautiful. I love the leaves, the flowers, the fruit, but that might be heavy. I've had milk come in and been like, oh, this is a bit much. You may be heavy. You may not enjoy that feeling, but it's part of the transformation that they're doing. They're transforming, and they have to understand in transformation, it don't last always. All the transformations that we've done, they haven't lasted forever. Patient in it and do it to the best of our ability. Okay? All right. I want to go into the greatest gift. Oh, my goodness. I love this prayer. Okay? This was one of the first ones I learned as a young person. Father, Mother God, although I speak with tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become a sounding gong or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so I could move mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my gifts to feed the poor, and I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. For as long as it's kind, love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It's not puffed up, nor does it behave rudely, does not seek its own. It is not easily provoked, nor think no evil. Love does not rejoice in iniquities, but rejoices in the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Never fails. But whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there is knowledge, it will fade away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, that which is in part will go away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. But then I shall know, just as I also am known. And now abide faith, hope, love. These three. But the greatest of these is love. Family, find that love and allow it to transform you today. Transform because it's the right thing to do. Transform because we need the energy, we need the hope. It's of growing in our community. So for your journaling, allow yourself to be honest about the transformations ahead in some gentle, positive ways we're going to deal with them. Amen. Have a wonderful day. Peace.